are going to start, call the Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order at 5:30 today. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken. I'd like to reflect that all members are present.
At this time, we will take public comment for anything that is currently not on the agenda. Is there anyone on the line that would like to comment? Let it reflect that there were no responses. Closing public comment. We have draft minutes to be approved. Make a motion to approve the committee draft meeting minutes from May 5th.
I second.
Make sure that your state passes physically.
Roll call.
Second.
Yes. Oh, no.
You don't need to.
I don't need to just.
You second it.
I second it. Okay. Show the minutes have been approved. Now we're moving on to presentations. Water and wastewater update.
No water and wastewater update. We can move to discussion.
Perfect. So we're going to move to discussion items. Discussion item number one, well 1B rehab summary.
So I believe Justin is on the line, our water and wastewater engineer from Rudolph and Scalmanini. Justin, are you there? Justin, if you're speaking, you are on mute.
Do you want, maybe you want to move to item number two and then come back to
yes,
it?
Yes, we'll
we only give them for a brief, almost at a short
time. Yeah, we can have you, we'll have Anthony
okay.
present that.
Thank you, Anthony.
We'll be able to.
Good afternoon. The status of well one is we did receive, close out the job of the contractor. We have received all the official reports. The groundwater level was about the same, and the pumping level of the new pump improved very well to the same as what was there. The well has been sampled, it passed the first sample, and is back online and operation.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Justin, we just heard you pop in. Did you want to add anything to the one rehab summary report?
To the well 1B summary
yes,
report?
Yes, please.
Yes, definitely. Sorry for calling in late. I had trouble with the getting the right number. Apologize for that. So, hello, how's everybody doing this evening?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you. I assume we are on the agenda item for well 1B rehab summary.
We are.
Okay. Thank you very much. And with me on the phone, I believe there's another person on the line from my office, from my company, Scott Lewis.
Okay.
Scott, are you there? Is Scott there? That's it. No response. Well, it's okay. I've got it covered. I was going to have Scott join so he can talk a little bit about the rehab too. We'll see if he joins in, but I'll just carry on from here. So we put together this staff report to summarize the work that was conducted. And with that, there's also five exhibits that includes the well profile, a pump curve with the testing that we did on the new pump that was installed. There's a specific capacity chart showing drawdown data. There's a site plan for well 1B, and then there's also an aerial image. So those are all the exhibits. And in this quick presentation, I'm just going to discuss the work that was conducted for the well rehabilitation, the upgrades for the pump that was done, the results of testing, and from there, recommendations for next steps moving forward. So well 1B was taken offline to address declining specific capacity and also to replace the submersible motor that's been in the well since the beginning, since the well was originally installed in 96. So that motor was a submersible Byron Jackson, had reached its service life and was ready to be replaced. In addition, the well has had a I'm in, but says, I'm sorry, I just got a text from Scott. He says he's in, but he's the only one. Maybe he has the wrong number. Sorry about that. So what we did was removed the pump, did a video log of the well, and had two contractors that we obtained through competitive bidding, one contractor to do the cleaning of the well and the other contractor to do the upgrades that we needed on the pump. And the goal was to get all of this work completed during the off-peak season, during the winter fall season. So we had it all lined out and ready to go. We conducted the rehab work with Roadrunner Drilling and Pump Company. They did line brushing, baling of material that was collected inside of the well, at the bottom of the well. There was chemicals that were mixed in batches and concentrations, getting pH as low as zero, and iteratively line brushing and placing the chemicals. And once the chemical work of the rehab was done, it was swab airlifting these sections in the screens to concentrate the velocity of water in the screen sections and remove all of the chemicals that were put into the well and all of the solids that it broke up. After the well was cleaned and we've confirmed that the pH was restored back to the background pH, we put in a test pump. The contractor pumped out the well to develop it, and we also collected some data from the drawdown data for the well. Immediately after that, we had the new pump installed because we needed to get the well back online for the high demand season. And the new pump is another submersible motor, but it's not Byron Jackson brand. It's we put in a lesser expensive brand for this well, given the history of it and kind of uncertainty going into the future. We had decided on that decision was made at the onset of the rehab program that we'd be putting in this other motor that's expected to last about maybe 10 years. We inspected the bowl components, all the pump components, tested it. Everything was right on the curve. Flows and efficiency are exactly what we would have expected. So everything was successful on the installation. And then since then, Veolia tested the well, got successful bacteriological testing, and it's been in service for several weeks now. So the next part of what I was going to discuss is the before and after testing that was done to measure any improvements made on the performance of the well structure itself. And what I'd refer to first is the first exhibit we have. That's the well profile that shows, it says well 1B, production well profile, well 1B. And you could see the vertical profile of the well, the solid casing, and the depth. And the key feature here is the depth of the screens, and the uppermost screen primarily, which is 271 feet to 289 feet deep. So that's the level above which we need to maintain pumping water levels inside the well to avoid cascading water and further loss of capacity and water quality issues that come about when you have cascading water. So that's really our maximum threshold for pumping water level. The pump itself that's installed in the well is at 260 feet. So it's about 10 feet above those screens. So the pump also is a threshold that we can't have the water fall below. That's just something to point out before I get into the data part of it, the data. So there's what we monitor for the condition of the well, for how it's performing, is the specific capacity, and that is the flow rate that the well can produce per foot of drawdown. And we collect this usually over a duration of a test at least 2 hours up to maybe 8 hours, depending on what we see in terms of the formation and the response of drawdown. We may have a longer test. In a lot of cases, it's the water level stabilize, and you could project what that water level is going to be into the future, because it becomes a stable linear projection. And that's the case for the wells in this area. We could run a 2-hour test and have good confidence in what that projected water level is going to be. And the projected level is always on a 24-hour basis. So what I mean by that is we maybe pump the well for 2 hours, and then we plot it, and then we project it and say, now if we kept pumping it for 24 hours at this rate, what would the drawdown be? And the flow rate divided by that drawdown is your specific capacity. And that's why we call it a 24-hour specific capacity. We want to know what would the water level be if we pumped it 24 hours straight. So it's a kind of a normalization, a way to compare every well. And one well, you could measure that over time and see if it's declining. And the rate of that decline starts to inform decisions on doing rehabs and potentially replacing wells if they decline too far. I have got Lewis actually calling me, so I'm going to loop him in on my line, and it will just take me about 10 seconds if that's okay for everybody.
That's great.
Hey Scott, are you there?
I am, but I
okay. You're in the meeting with us now, so I just merged our calls. So
okay.
Scott Lewis,
hi,
is
Scott.
Here. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Sorry for the connection problems.
So Scott, I just went through the update of the report, got done explaining the specific capacity, the purpose of us collecting it, and what that means in terms of what that means in terms of the well, monitoring it over time to monitor the performance of a well. And I'm right now just on our staff report on the data table that's showing specific capacity for well 1B, the historic specific capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So for our record in 2003 was our the record that we have on file is the kind of the baseline, which was a specific capacity of 23.4 gallons per minute per foot of drawdown. And that's pretty consistent with other wells that are within the Discovery Bay area. They're all kind of in that around 20 to 30 gallon per minute per foot of drawdown. We started seeing declines in testing in 2007, and in 2009, there was a decision made to do a rehab. In 2010, the rehab was actually completed, and from follow-up testing in 2011, there wasn't, from those two before and after tests, not a marked improvement, not an improvement at all. And then we said, well, let's continue monitoring this. We made some minor pump upgrades at that time. And then 2015, 2017, we're seeing some declines occur again. And then in 2019, we said, let's plan for another rehab and see if we can, you know, do an even more aggressive plan to try to get at whatever is causing this decline, and remove that material and see if we can improve performance. So what we see on the before and after is kind of the same result. There's not really any significant improvement from the pre and post. So as I explained on that first figure, we have that screen level at 271 feet, and our pump setting is 260 feet. And where we're at today with specific capacity at about 8.2 to 8.5 and the pump that's in there is we'll continue producing 1500 to 1600 gallons per minute. And what we would project as a 24 hour water level, based on the historic record of water levels, meaning, you know, how deep the overall groundwater basin gets during seasonally low periods near the end of the summer. You know, we have a record of that. We look at that record and we look at the specific capacity and we say, well, It's approximately 240 feet is what the deepest pumping level we would expect to see based on the conditions of the well today, and producing 1,500 to 1,600 gallons per minute. So that gives us about 20 feet of buffer from that deepest water level to the pump, which is 260 feet, and maybe about 31 feet of buffer to the top, to the uppermost screen. So in current conditions, we're still going to be producing the amount of water that we need from this well. 1,600 gallons per minute is equivalent to two filters at Willow Lake Water Treatment Plant, and that's what we want this well to do. It's been sized for that purpose. Now, if specific capacity continues to decline, which based on historical data, indicates there is a downward progression of this. So if it continues to decline, at some point it won't be feasible to produce 1,500 to 1,600 gallons per minute. And the options would be at that point to lower the pump. Lowering the pump would give us another 10 feet of buffer only because of the upper screen depth of 271 feet. And then the other option would be, well, we can reduce the flow rate. Normally we would say one option would be do a rehab. Well, we've done two rehabs and we haven't seen any market improvement. So it might not be the best way to spend the money on this well. So as it reduces in capacity, if it gets to the point where we could be breaking suction in the pump or pumping into the screens, we would have to reduce the flow rate in order to prevent that from happening. So based on these findings, our recommendation is to closely monitor the specific capacity. What we've done for monitoring is in our biannual, every 2 years, doing testing on the wells to check in on these parameters. And well 1B is the only well that's shown this level of decline. So we would say, what we're recommending is more frequent monitoring for specific capacity. And it's something that Veolia can do and does do. They do monitor flow and water levels. I think it would be a matter of coordinating with Veolia to get the data we need to be able to project it in this manner that we do for the specific capacity test, this 24-hour projected specific capacity. And then we would get more frequent monitoring intervals so we could get a sense of how quickly is this rate of decline happening and how quickly do we need to take action. And the future actions are ultimately going to be a well replacement for well 1B. And the first thing to consider is, can we put one on this site? So Scott and I started to look at, Scott is the principal geologist with Bluegorf and Scalmanini. And I apologize for the mix up on the phone numbers for us getting him here on this line. But I wanted to introduce Scott to everybody. And maybe at a future meeting, we'll all come down together and meet everybody in person. But Scott really is the best resource to talk about replacement well options and the well construction and siting the well replacing a well on this particular site. So we looked at that together. We looked at the well 1B site plan, which shows where the historic wells are on the site. And the current well, and there's some limitations, right, on this site in terms of space and meeting setbacks, sanitary setbacks from DDW, and just construction logistics with all of the equipment for the drilling activities. But we wouldn't rule it out as an option. I mean, we identified a possible location for the well, a future well on the site. But there's definitely some feasibility level review to be done, such as reaching out to DDW, at least informally, to get their, see if they'd be okay with this, because there's some, setbacks to think about, like with the sanitary sewer and with the proximity to the surface water. So that would, I think, be what needs to happen next, is looking into that feasibility of well construction on this site. It would be the lowest cost option, because the infrastructure is already there, electrical service, piping, you know, it's all there. And the site is owned by the district, which is sometimes the most challenging part of a new well project, is finding a site.
So Justin, I have a quick question.
So
current state, the well is producing what we need it to produce, correct?
Yes. Well, yes, that's correct. It's producing what we need it to produce.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Director Graves, do you have any questions? Okay, not hearing him. I know he's there. did you have anything else to add to that?
I am here.
I can hear you, yeah. Did you have any questions?
For me?
Kind of off and on. I'm going to text you.
Okay. No, I have no questions.
No. Oh, I'm not going to text you. I'm just kidding.
I have no questions.
Perfect.
I'm clear.
Thank you. Can I open it up to public comment? Hearing no public comment, do we need to have any action on this, or it's just information only? Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Scott.
No, you're welcome. Very welcome. Thank you. Yeah.
So we are now moving on to the next discussion item, which is input on environmental mitigation monitoring plan.
Right. We'll bring up our engineer.
Hello, Gregory Harris, Herbert Engineering.
Hi, Gregory.
Engineer for the town of Discovery Bay. So back to our diffuser project. We've been here a couple times to talk about that. As part of the construction, since we are going into the river, we were required to do a CEQA analysis and a CEQA document preparation. We hired Vizian to do that work, and that has proceeded and been completed. One of the spinoffs out of that is you have to prepare what's called an environmental mitigation monitoring plan, which basically says we're okay to do this as long as we follow this set of rules. And they let you make up the rules, and then the public agencies comment on them and come back and say, okay, yeah, let's do it this way. And that's essentially what this plan is. So it puts limits on the contractor about what type of equipment he can use. They can't be filling diesel next to the shore. You know, they got to fill the diesel trucks up somewhere else and then bring them. The dredge is a certain kind of a dredge, how it operates. So these are rules that are spelled out in the environmental monitoring plan that was attached to the staff report.
Okay.
And the board has to adopt this tonight. So we're bringing it here to just see if there's any questions ahead of time about what's going on. And then we're going to bring it back to board tonight for a resolution to adopt it. And so that essentially binds the actions of the town staff and contractors who work for the town to follow the plan.
I don't have any questions. Director Graves, do you have any questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you tonight then.
Sounds good. See you tonight. Do we have any future agenda items? Oh, I need to do public comment. I'm sorry. Always. Any public comment on the mitigation plan? Sounds like there's no public comment, so we will close that. Do we have any future discussion items? Sounds like we have no future discussion items, so we are going to adjourn the water-wastewater meeting at 5:54 p.m.
And I would just thank you for everybody's indulgence with me as I'm out of town at the time, but good meeting, and thank you very much, Ashley. Great job.